Hello, how's it going today?
Good. I was sighing as I was trying to find the oh my gosh, the on button. Woof. Well, there you go. That's how my day is. It's going fine. It's actually sunny. A little chilly, but don't mind the all weather. What about you?
Not too bad. I just got a new scanner.
Oh.
I'm unofficially the keeper of our family photos. So, like, my dad took tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of photo during his life. My mom grabbed all the photos from my grandmother's house. So we have like boxes and boxes of them. But I didn't have a good scanner to scan them in. So I got a good scanner online cheap. And I was testing it out right before this to make sure that it works. So yeah, that's what I was doing.
Actually, that sounds pretty neat. I mean, some of those old pictures are, yeah, I dig them out occasionally. They're pretty cool.
I found one. This one is an odd one. I can drop it. I think I can drop it in here quick. I forget if sometimes this doesn't allow sharing and sometimes it does. Well, here we are. Let's see if it looks me. Oh yeah, it did. Okay. So that's one that I was testing. It's my grandfather and my dad's mother, Cora May, and her two sons. She was married prior to marrying my grandfather. And there's very, 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 very few photos of her. I think that's like one of two that I found. But yeah. So that was one of the ones I
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. They're little shorts. They don't quite fit into their little shorts.
Yeah, exactly. That probably was right after he came back from Germany in World War II. So I think that is like 46 or so, 45, 46. But yeah. So, and because my family is paranoid, I also set up a self-hosted image service on my server with 4 terabytes of storage space. So as I scan things, it's all going in there. It's using its AI to tag faces. And yeah.
An actual good use of AI. Wow.
Yeah, facial recognition, Google's facial recognition is pretty good. This is image. Its facial recognition algorithm is actually really good. It can pick out baby faces and match them to adults. I don't know how it does it, but it does
Wow.
it.
Crazy.
So it's not just confusing all babies with Winston Churchill.
I was surprised. I mean, every once in a while, if it's not straight on, it gets confused. But with my sisters, they're only 3 years apart. But even like, I can tell which one of my sisters it is in baby photos by my mom's hair, what her hairstyle was at the time. Sounds bad. But it's grabbing some of those baby photos and like, oh, this is Leilani, this is Venda, and I'm just like, whoa, this is scary. I highly recommend Image if you want to self-host a image
Training.
gallery software.
Well, folks, looks like we have plenty of people here. I can share my screen and we can get started. For reasons that are not exactly clear to me, I have set the icon for this meeting to a check mark. So try to change it. I've decided we all just need to live with it. Maybe I can figure that out after the meeting. Right. Yes, there you go. And there's certain dopamine positive connotations with check marks anyway, so maybe it's a good omen. All right. Welcome to the PC meeting for October the 16th, 2025. I think we have a note taker today, Martin. I see people typing. Is that you, Martin?
Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to get all the attendees, but
Yeah, I guess you got your work cut out for yourself today. There's quite a few of us here. Well, thank you for digging in on that. I have no announcements. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to share that they feel like is announcement material? Also, are y'all seeing my screen? Can y'all see my screen? Forgot to check. Okay.
we seem to have two versions of the meeting agenda, but
Uh-oh.
well, I'll get out of this one and
I am in the one that you created. I have updated it this morning. I added a few things to it.
okay, it might just, yeah, it could be just something odd going on, but that's okay. I'll sort it out.
All right. Jennifer.
Just the planning group for WolfCon met briefly, so I just wanted to share information. The results were overwhelmingly positive for the conference this year. We there were some comments about, the sound and microphone, which is always difficult, but we got some really great feedback, and we will be presenting the survey results, I think, to the OLF board soon, and maybe another group too. I have to ask Jesse. Anyway, so we'll be sharing that in more detail later on. And then we will be starting up a new planning committee, actually earlier this year, since WolfCon in Prague is, actually it's like 2 or 3 weeks earlier than when we've been having it. So we'll probably reconvene in early December. And of course the recordings, thank you, Peter, are up online. And I know the keynote speakers, that's Peter's also working on that. Yeah. And thanks, yeah, Tom. Yeah. Yay. If you
Awesome.
want to, volunteer, just reach out to me.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I had a really good time at WolfCon. It seemed pretty great to me. Y'all are doing a great job with that. Okay. Any other announcements? All right. I'm gonna move into some housekeeping things. I have added a new action item section down here at the bottom. It also has a check mark icon and is intended to have a check mark icon that might be related to me accidentally adding it to the top of the page. But we discussed this in one of the PC related meetings that we've had recently. I think when Todd brought up potential changes to and standardization of our approach to note taking. So I have added this section down here for us to kind of collect together action items from the meeting. And then also I've added a section here. We'll see how this goes for under the standing update section for working group or subgroup updates. We might be able to handle the RMS group in that section moving forward, but just it's an opportunity for us to go over the subgroups that we have and make sure that our scheduling when it comes to next updates and end dates and things like that, that we're on top of that, and that there it's a forum for representatives from those subgroups to kind of surface things to the group as far as their progress in their group. So we'll see how that goes. And then lastly, I noticed that we have this meeting minutes section down at the bottom. And I just really quickly wanted to find out. I am when I take notes, I ignore that section. Maybe I'm doing that incorrectly. I don't know what it's for. Does anybody know what the purpose is of that section?
My suspicion is that it's laid out so that you would have the agenda at the top and then take notes below, whereas we interfile the notes.
Yeah.
That's a guess.
That was my impression from looking at this, that the intent was to actually take the notes for the meeting down here and leave the agenda pristine. But we have a notes column in the agenda that we end up taking the minutes in. So at least operationally, we don't handle it that way. Charlotte?
Yeah. So, and I think it's most efficient to simply make sure that the comments we have for the agenda is being expanded on with the notes, and then we kind of have one document.
I prefer that myself when I'm looking at notes after the fact, because I hate trying to correlate an agenda with notes in two different places. I find that confusing. But Thomas?
If you hear a squawking in the background, my bird is being really active this morning. Perhaps instead of having it as meeting notes, you could change it to decisions made, just to highlight any decisions that were made during the meeting and have that separate from the running notes that are on the side.
Okay, so add a decision section. I like
Yeah.
that. In addition to the action items, decisions is good. Also, do we save the chat history with our notes?
Usually we don't.
No.
Okay, that might be a good thing to do also, just because there's context for the meetings oftentimes in the chat.
But they are often very, very messy. What about that we, because I see some working groups or councils, they have link to the recording. And if you go into link of the recording, then you have both the video, you have the audio, you have the Slack. And
Okay,
so if anyone want to do see the Slack in the chat, they can simply see that.
I promise I exist. All right, I'm just gonna do this. Jeremy, add decision. I'm not supposed
Just
to
a
see.
heads up that the recordings are not usually available until like the next day, which caught me. So if you're kind of ahead of and you're getting in the notes up, the recordings may not be there yet. We run into that with Consortia SIG, where we have the notes, but the recording's not quite live yet.
That's a really good point. One of the things that we may be able to do is at our Tuesday meeting, we might be able to update that link for the previous week each Tuesday, and add link
You can
to.
also just do a generic link to all of the recordings from the SIG, open them, and then people would need to scroll down to find a particular one. We at Consortia SIG, we do go back and put the specific link to each meeting.
I like that suggestion.
But at least for our product council meetings, the recordings are usually online shortly after the meetings, because every time I take notes, I go through the recording and to see if I miss something. So, and usually I can do it the same day. So, I mean, it's there
Yeah, what
after
Martin is
maybe maximum one
describing
hour or
is
so.
what should be happening. Lucy, did you say it was Consortia SIG that it's not doing that for?
Yeah, I checked with Darcy. So, I mean, I'm not usually the one taking notes, Peter, but this week Darcy couldn't come. So I took notes, threw them up like within a couple hours of the meeting being over, and the minutes were not there yet for our October meeting. So I checked with Darcy and said, do they usually show up immediately? And she said, nah, usually not till I usually don't do it till the next day. So I'm not saying it's a long time, but I'm saying it's not immediate.
Okay, well, I'll check into it. It should be immediate, but there is an overnight job that will sweep up any recordings that are missed. But it sounds
maybe
like
we're not getting caught up in that
API
then. Okay.
Call is wrong. So yeah, Consortia SIG, and if anyone else is noticing the same symptoms, let me know and I'll try to triangulate what the problem is. But it should be within like 10 minutes after a meeting ends.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Peter. All right. I'm going to move on past housekeeping to standing updates. We'll do some council updates. Cece?
Yes. Hi. I put some notes in there. The group met on Monday. And they followed up on all the stuff from the WolfCon, the tri-council meeting and the shoulder meeting, their shoulder meeting, their individual meeting. I put the two things down there that Todd had brought this up. I think you had shared at the chairs meeting, folks were talking about what the individual council said they were going to follow up on. And so those were the PC ones, the work on the visibility of development across the and then creating a list of folio modules with maintenance status, including orphaned apps, which we talked about a little bit on Tuesday at the planning meeting and trying to figure out who's going to do that. But I think that's further down on today's agenda. And then there was a really good presentation from Karen about the Latin American folio community and trying to get more engagement there. That's it.
That would be very cool. Looks like we had no TC meeting and no RMS meeting. Okay. All right. So let's give this a shot. I'm going to time box this because we have other things on the agenda. And just at a quick glance, I think we could probably spend an entire meeting cleaning up the subgroup page. So I'm going to change this to subgroup updates. But I don't know. Well, let's just see how it goes. Okay. So right off the bat, we have the RMS group. And so this is why I'm thinking if we do something like this on a regular basis, standing updates where we just kind of go over this, then it seems like we could start handling the RMS update in this context over here. So I'm just going to put this into edit mode. Time to convert my page. Peter, what do I do?
Go ahead and convert it.
All right. Cool. All right. All right, we can clean this up in a second, but I'm gonna look for next check-in date. There should be, is there like a date widget here? Let's just do next week. And this does not have a target end date, which might make it we might want to take some time talking about what our definition of subgroups are at some point. But all right, so we have this other group right here, prioritization and roadmap subgroup. And it's looking like, so I need to move my Zoom stuff out of the way. Charlotte, Jesse was on that. Do we know, is anybody involved with this subgroup?
It was mostly a Kristen Martin, Jesse thing. Was there any, yeah, I don't know if anybody else.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. I'm going to, so for any of these groups that like we don't have an update on and we don't know, if it's all right, Martin, would you mind putting an action item down for me to follow up with Jesse on this? Kristen, there you are. Howdy.
Yeah, I think you can go ahead and close that group. It really completed its work in like 2024, so I didn't realize it still had an active presence there.
Okay.
I do think we, like when we gave the roadmap update, the subgroup really hadn't met in a long time, and we had turned over the prioritization process. Caitlin had kind of taken it on from there, with the community prioritization and working with the SIG. So I think you could just take that one off.
Perfect. I think I might, I don't know if this is the way that we handle things, but I think I might make like an archive section or something like that. So instead of just deleting a row, moving the row from this into like a closed groups section or something like that. So I'll go ahead and just note the fact that this is I'll put the target end date for today, and I'll come back through afterwards to get that moved out. Martin and then Charlotte.
First of all, there's this section of completed groups. So if
There
you
you go.
want to have an archive, there it is, I think.
Yeah, perfect.
But what I wanted to say is that isn't this group, the prioritization and roadmap group, also the group that made up the roadmap presentation on the Wolfcons? Or
That was real
was
people
it different?
who made that up. There is no group anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so
So
it
I think
wasn't linked to that.
right, the group was concluded. I think the product council is going to want to think about how to keep the roadmap up to date, for the future. But if you want to have a new group, I would say it's a new group though, or it's something that you delegate out. But I would say this group is definitely done. We're not meeting every other week on Wednesday at 9 a.m. for sure.
Okay. Fantastic.
So
Oh,
can I
sorry. Yeah, Charlotte.
suggest that we clean up also on the wiki so it is clear if you are searching for the, what was it called, prioritization, roadmap and prioritization group, that it is clear that this is an old document and we, in our wiki folder, either decide we want to delete the information or maybe better have it in a section where it is completed work groups, similar to we have it in this document. But we need to, in the heading, to clearly indicate that this is no longer an active group. Yeah,
Put the word
archived.
completed in there and then,
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
So a little the note, Kristen, you mentioned, maybe it could be kind of a paragraph in red highlight or something again, so you clearly know this is the status of this group.
Well,
Fantastic.
do you want that note, like when we move this to completed groups, you're going to add that note there? I don't remember if we,
Yeah.
that
I
works.
think
That would be a good idea because if people are searching, then they just get the page and they don't take a look and see where is this actually fitted in the what's called
Hierarchy.
content overview or something. So it's clearly that now you are looking in an old document, and I'm only talking about experience, that there's so much old stuff in the folio wiki by now, so you really have to be careful that you are not reading an old and no longer relevant document, and you then think this is relevant new information.
I
So,
don't mind. I don't mind doing that when I move this down, putting that stuff in place.
I'm noticing on the working group page that we have this great task status and this working group status that we have not changed. So it seems like this is an e is this sort of like it would be easy to change this status here from active to concluded.
I'm not seeing a status.
So I put, if you click on that link I just stuck into chat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like it's really obvious, like Charlotte saying this would help. So I could just I could make it red or something
Yeah.
that
Hey, that's a
indicates
good idea.
that it's concluded. And then people would know that this is not like where they're gonna find new information.
Yeah, this is great. This looks great. I'm going to move on to this last one on here. Better sample data and folio test environments started last year in June. Charlotte, you're set as the owner. Are y'all still meeting?
Yeah, so the meetings have been not that regular lately, and I have stepped down, and Autumn from our group here has taken on the role as being a co-convener of this working group. So we are very much still alive, but we have done some internal changes. And I know Autumn has already scheduled the next meeting to be on October 28.
Okay.
And I think, too, just as an aside, it's probably time for this group to touch base with y'all, just give you a quick update and see if you have any input about next steps. We don't have to do that right now, but I can, if you want me to add it to an upcoming agenda, I can do that.
So I can throw y'all down for an update on the 30th. That sounds like it'll be after y'all's next meeting. Does that sound good?
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
You are welcome. This is perfect. Okay. I didn't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I think we've done some good cleanup, and ideally, as these new groups are forming up, we'll get some more stuff on that page. And that's great. Okay. Back to our notes.
Can I ask a quick question? The
Sure.
three new working groups we are working on, are they to be on that list as well?
Yeah,
Yes.
I think so. I think that's I think that would be a good way to handle it. If there are other suggestions, there might be better ways, but
I make an action item for
awesome. Okay. Our main event today is a presentation of the priorities from the MMSIG. I'm sure we have some representatives here, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen and we can hand things over to the MMSIG.
Hi.
Hello.
I think it's Regan and me who are here. So at least I haven't prepared a slide. I could talk us through the list of topics. But Regan, if you would like to start, that would also be fine for me.
I can hold on, let me share because I do have it brought up. Are you seeing my screen?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I'll start with the first one, and Felix, please jump in on all the things I forget. The reordering of holdings and items. There's actually a lot here. One is that with the use of RTAC, whatever holdings was last updated gets moved to the top. Whatever item got last updated gets moved to the top. That's actually not really helpful, especially if you have a giant list of items because you're expecting them to be in a certain order. And right now with holdings, there is absolutely no way to specify a sort order and have it stay in an order. And so that's one of the things that we're looking into with this. And then with the item records, again, it's kind of the same thing where they get out of order because of RTAC, or like if you have a 10 volume set, but volume 7 comes in really late, there is no way to move that volume 7 into numerical order permanently. You can, for the little session you're in, sort by the volume number column and make that in order, but as soon as you close out of it, it goes back to the default sort order, which is by barcode, I believe. And then maybe by, if there's no barcode, it's either going to be item record number or date of creation, which would get you the same kind of sort. And then we've also had problems with item sorting that way back in the day, we decided on how we wanted things to sort. And it's gotten broken over time because, and basically the big thing here is we want to sort by whole numbers and not digit by digit because we want it to go 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. But right now it's like 1, 11, 12, 2. And again, that's not really helpful or good. So that's kind of what is all under this particular priority. And Felix, I saw you had put something on Slack that some of this is getting worked on, I think.
Right, so I can add that the MMSIC has identified that item sort order is most pressing to them. So we've decided to start with adding something to have a permanent sort order for items. And Ryan's team has worked on adding something to the data model. So that is basically a new field, a new element where you can enter or where you can specify a sort order of a given item. So that it is then hard coded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for each item. Right now, the data model has been enhanced so that it now includes this field. I think it will be added to the Trillium release. You can reorder it using the API right now. There has also been a UAT performed by Ryan's team. And I right now just saw that reordering items via the UI. What will be the more practical use of that rather than using the APIs? That is also scheduled for Trillium. So I think that's a really good news for everyone who has more than one item living under one holdings.
All right, any other qu or any questions on that one before I go on? And then Felix, stop me if you ever feel like taking over. The inventory hierarchical navigation structure. As you can tell by the UX prod number, this has been around a while. And this is basically trying to make inventory more user friendly. And we actually had a working group meeting at WolfCon discussing this. We are still very, very early in the process, and we understand that there's going to be, need to be a lot of input from a lot of people, but we are really wanting to get something moving because this comes up as a pain point a lot of why does it take 10 clicks to do everything? Why can't I make the page, why can't I personalize the page for what I need? This sort of thing. And so, again, it's going to be a long time before we have something ready, but we have at least started in on this process of figuring out what exactly do we want and how can we make it better. Anything to add, Felix, or anyone else?
Yeah, Jeremy, do you mind if I start? Just one thinking about that is, so we've spoken to the relevant POs, and even if our spec work, was done, what it is actually not. But even then, development capacities are far beyond, next year. So right now, so even if we've done our job as SICK and specified the requirements, nothing could be developed right now. So that could be, or I would say that would be something that if we would have a community-driven development team that they could pick up would be quite good because MMSIC is a stakeholder of inventory, but we are not the only people using it. It's used from everyone in the system, may it be acquisition people or from circulation staff or even from ERM people maybe. So that seems to be rather high priority. But we are not yet there to start development. But if we would be there, then might be good if community who needs that could also bring in some development resources.
You're speaking my language. Yeah, that's definitely makes a lot of sense to me. My question, it touches on exactly something that you were just mentioning, Felix, which is just that the inventory app specifically seems like it has such cross-cutting concerns when it comes to different groups using Folio. And if I wasn't really clear when y'all were talking about this, if the scope of this particular conversation that you guys are having is confined to the MM SIG, or if you guys are reaching out to the other stakeholders for this conversation. It'd be if this was prioritized on multiple SIGs top five, then I think that would send a really strong message.
Right now, at the moment, we have only, because it was literally, we started this conversation at WolfCon, so not that long ago. And that's something I think Felix and I are also still trying to figure out is how much do we do before reaching out? It's a thing, because we know we need to, it is kind of a when do we start? And how do we start? Because there, I said there's just so much there, and I do think a big question is user level settings, because that really would change things on. Okay, then if your acquisitions, you could set it up to help you better, and then cataloging could do a different setup, or do we want to do something like other older ILS systems have done, where it's just when you log in, if you log in as cataloger, you get a completely different look than someone who logs in as acquisitions. We are still so early. We're still trying to figure stuff out.
I think your intuition, though, that this would be something that other groups would be interested in is dead on. I know that at our institution, the number of clicks that people have to perform in inventory is something I hear about from every corner of of the library. But Charlotte?
So one of the initial steps to do would probably be to at least if you are searching in the holding segment, then you get the result based on holdings. And if you search on the item segment, then your results get in item. And that would be something you should that sh needs to be solved in mod search. And when that is solved, it is possible to then have these refine the display. And I would say some people love the multi-column list, other peoples hate it and want a card display. So again, why a folio should be able to have that configured that you can select, say, I would like my result list presented in a table form, multi-column list, or I want my display presented in a card display.
All right. Thank you so much. Sorry for distracting from y'all's progress through your priorities.
Oh, no, it's we know, which is also why it's taken us this long to get around to starting the work, is because it has just it's kind of the albatross in the room of knowing something needs to be done, but where do you start? So, okay, priority three, search mark fields in the UI. And while this particular JIRA says closed, it was only an analysis. This is something that is still being worked on and is still in. And basically, this comes from there's a lot of data in the bibliographic records that is not searchable in any, well, it's only searchable in the any index, which is not really useful or helpful. And people, myself included, Really, really just want to be able to do search by a mark field. A lot of time it's for cleanup. And the big thing is in the UI, because not everybody has access to APIs or the ability to use them. So we really need something in the UI. I believe they're still even trying to figure out where it would sit, if it would be in inventory or list or where. But some of the initial work and analysis has started on this. And Felix, my voice is going, so I'll let you do the last two. Or
Yeah,
Todd,
we
if
have
you
a.
have a question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. This is some related things have come up with. How do we keep Folio from being completely Mark-centric? And so I'm wondering, like in your conversations about like being able to search these particular like very specific Mark tags, are you trying to balance that with the long stated desire for Folio to be agnostic.
It come that comes up. People do bring that up. I don't know if there's a way to do this and make it apply to anything. And I think there is some question there on, for every different standard, would we have to come up with a new search? And I am not technical enough to be able to answer that question, or computer literate enough to answer that question.
Or does the search always have to be at the exact granularity? I mean, it might be a granularity question. Anyhow.
Yeah, and listen, and that, like I said, that would be like a product count, not a technical counsel question maybe, or someone again who knows way more than me. I guess Jeremy, I think, was first.
I kind of in the vein of what Todd was asking about. I think maybe a framing of the question, because what you're talking about is an obvious win for Folio, being able to, pull up results based on values in a MARC record. But maybe a good framing that would kind of get at that agnostic nature would be to, instead of, describing it as MARC record search, if it was source record search, right? So just the idea that these records could have, multiple source records or multiple types of source records backing them, and that, we would need insight to be able to pull records up based on values in whatever source record they happen to have. I do think, though, from a technical perspective, you would be on the hook for implementing it again and again and again for every type of source record that is supported by Folio. But I mean, if someone wanted to search by Mark, they also are probably going to be able, want to be able to search by whatever source record happened to be backing their records. Felix.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. To me, this also dates back to the development work of was it how was the Mark cataloging app called? Marquette? Was it Marquette that
Yes.
has not made it into Folio, and where development has stalled, because so and then people then we also had QuickMark at that time, but you could only view the record, and then QuickMark has been enhanced to also allow editing of MARC records and linking now authorities. So QuickMark has become one of the modules that is now being used, and that is not really tied to inventory, but from a user perspective, it is part of inventory because you don't have a known app. There's no QuickMark app. So it's an inventory app, and people expect that they have a way to search their underlying source data. And let's say you have RDF or BibFrame as your source data. I think if you have an app like Marva, you can use that to search your source data. And if you have an external tool, like a union catalog, you can use that like Libris or any other tool. So the data is there. If it's there in Folio, you should have a way to search for it using the UI. And that would also allow us to stop blowing up the instance schema with a lot of elements that we maybe don't need in inventory, but we need it because we don't have a way to really work with the underlying mark. But from the vision, the instance was never thought of to be so bloated or be a rich bibliographic description like a mark record or any other bibliographic metadata record.
That's a great point.
Martin.
Yeah, basically, I think I wanted to say the same. I think the main problem is that on the user interface, the format agnostic part, inventory, and the format part, I mean, the source record storage, they are the same at visually, and it's all inventory at the moment. And so the things get blurred. And I think a good way would be to have it separated, as I said, have us maybe a separate app to search by mark, or have us another tab in the inventory to search for in the source form, something like this. And I also wanted to say that I think basically if you want to have it, want to support different source formats, I think, for example, searching in MARC, I think is quite different from, for example, searching BitFrame or any other similar linked data format, for example. So you would actually need some different kind of search mechanism. So it would be hard to all get it under one into one interface, I think.
I think this conversation is really relevant because that is also happening in the linked data sig conversations about what is the source of data being pushed from a third party BibFrame editor into inventory. And Library of Congress, I was attending the workshop, but I know there has been several presentation of Library of Congress's linked data editor and the use they have of linked data and how they are round-tripping MARC data. So I think this is kind of an area which is both involving product council, MMSIC, linked data SIG, and you know. It would be relevant to have maybe rewrite or restate some of the original thinking around what inventory is and what inventory is not, and have this idea about how even that mostly we have. Right now, we just have underlying MARC records stored, but that we kind of say, okay, now it is time to reiterate what our thinking was with the source records.
Okay, that's a good discussion, and that happens in MMSIC if we are talking about this topic as well. So what I would note as a follow-up, because UX Prod 5218 is now closed, but that's just the analysis ticket. I would take it back to Kalila and ask her, what the results have been, because there's no documentation linked from this ticket and no other ticket. So that is a to-do for me or for us as conveners. Okay, let's use the remaining time for number four. That is not only focused to inventory, or the issue, the problem is not only focused to inventory, but we have it as well. That is, how do you enter your data and how can you search for your data? And here, the thing is that the SIG has agreed that we want to strip leading and trailing spaces. If you enter data, for instance, you copy a barcode, and what you copy from a page, or you scan it, and you have a trailing space. And what we want is that this data is then being stripped. So, and space, not only meaning a space, but if you think of a regex, that's any white space character. So tab, new line, carriage return, and stuff like that. That should be stripped from the input fields and also when performing a search. There has been some work. We tried it in some of the reference environments, and we saw that search is ignoring the problematic values in some cases, but not in all. So, we have to get more work, pre-work year before development can start. And last but not least, number five, that is about a real specific thing when cataloging. You have when cataloging using the RDA standard, as I think most academic libraries will do. Then you have something called content type, and that's a repeatable field. Per se, and in MARC and other standards, that is also repeatable. So that's MARC field 336. That's the label is instance or resource type in Folio, but there is an issue here. So that field is not repeatable. So you will lose information if you create an instance record from a source record. And the example that is listed in this ticket is, if you catalog, for instance, a book that has an audio CD attached to it, then you have a media combination and you will set the content type to text and also to spoken word. But right now, one of the values will be missing from the instance record, and that has implications if you perform a search and filter on this element. So, for instance, you filtering for spoken word and only text is included in the instance, then you will miss that. So that's really a neat cataloging thing that maybe has implications to other areas when people are using the system. That is number five of the list. And what I could do. Oh, Kristen, do you have a question related to
Oh, I
that?
just wanted to mention, I know that the app interaction SIG was looking at search and had some sessions at WolfCon and are having some follow-up sessions about it. And one of the goals for that working group was to try to harmonize search across all apps. And one of the problems is even like understanding how things work. But if you notice in the community priorities dashboard, the second priority for cross apps is strip leading and trailing white spaces. So I feel like these two things are really nicely tied. And I think there's usually somebody in cross app who, like Laura, usually comes to that, Laura Daniels. So I don't know if she's still going to MM, but I do feel like that has come up across the board as something that people are unhappy about. And one of the first steps that the cross app SIG is looking at doing is really documenting how search works, just because it's hard to explain what needs changing if you don't know how it's currently working.
Jeremy, could I take one more minute to show you how we are doing our prioritization work, and how people can use, oh, thanks, can use one of our Jira dashboards to keep track of what's being worked on. So we have, as many other SIGs, we have an implementation topics, site in page in the wiki, where people can add their topics. We will then pick it up in the MM SIG, discuss it, and have some actions linked to it, so we will not forget about it. And in our MM roadmap, Jira, we constantly update the widgets, or I don't know, widgets or gadgets, how this is called. We will have a list of, sorted by the releases. For instance, here, Trillium features that are being worked on, so you can get a glance if you're looking at it. And we also have a votes column, so we are using the votes feature in Jira. You can see then, how many people or how many institutions. Yeah, that's a bit unclear here. Once I need this feature. Same for the upcoming or for the release after the one that is worked on, like Umbrella Leaf. And more importantly, we also have open features that and not planned features. And you can see here 15 votes, but it is not scheduled for any of the next Flower releases. So here you can see that's the delta. People want it, but it's not scheduled.
This is fantastic. I have seen things like this with other SIGs, but I imagine that made it, and it actually was one of my follow-up questions for y'all. I imagine that made it relatively easy to come forward with your list of top five priorities. My question is, did y'all find it helpful to go through this exercise? Was it arduous? We're trying to gauge, how often we want to engage the SIGs to bring forward these priorities, and just kind of get y'all's feedback on the usefulness of that process for you. It's certainly useful for us to hear about it, but from y'all's perspective, how did it go?
I mean, we know we knew what we wanted, but bringing it in kind of a form that we can present here and have added to this page was not so easy, because there's not only the MM SIG, we also now have the data import SIG, no longer the working group. And MM touches so many areas like data import. We have the Bella subgroup, bulk edit, lists app. That's living under MM, and it really had to focus on what is core MM and what is in the universe around it. But once we figured that out, it was straightforward.
I think y'all should be encouraged by all the dialogue that sprung up around several of y'all's priorities. I think it's a strong indication that you have selected things that are very kind of core to pain points that a lot of people are probably feeling in a lot of different areas in Folio. So great job. Thank y'all so much. We have 5 minutes left. I think I'm going to share my screen again. And we do not have enough time to dive into this in any sort of detail, but our next agenda topic is to just kind of touch base on this effort that we have going to spin up working groups for the top three priorities that we came out of WolfCon with: the community dashboard, the CDDF, the RMS communication piece. And I think we probably have enough time for the people who were responsible for convening these meetings to just give a, one sentence kind of update on how that process is going. Todd, did you have a comment?
Oh, I was going to suggest, given the time, we pop over that and go to the meeting, defining agendas. But I think you're good for, I think it's probably makes just as much sense to do those 1 minute, one sentence updates.
Okay.
And yeah.
I don't mind leading off. I think I was supposed to convene the CDDF group. I have done mostly nothing in regards to getting that together. So I apologize for that. I will make sure that I get on that. We did have a CDD meeting. It was, maybe could be considered the final meeting for the working group that brought the WolfCon proposal forward. We did an analysis of some of the feedback coming out of WolfCon. That is a tri-council group. So one thing I did want to say is we did discuss the idea that for the CDDF, this is something that is intended to be a tri-council effort. Our representatives from the technical council were there, and internal to their council, they're working on kind of technical council responsibilities related to CDDF. So I'm not exactly sure the shape that it's going to take, but I do think that the CDDF group is most likely going to have some measure of cadence where it meets in with the other councils, groups from the other councils. So maybe something like the first Wednesday of the month or something like that, is all three councils, representatives from all three councils meet to make sure that the CDDF efforts are being coordinated, and then on the subsequent weeks, a more PC related focused meetings take place. So that's my update, but I will be reaching out to folks shortly. And how about community dashboard?
Yeah, we actually have a meeting right after this.
Nice.
So, so we're gonna kick off pretty soon.
You win. RMS communication.
Yeah, we did send out the doodle poll, and there's also a set meeting time. And Autumn, I forgot the time, but I think you know.
Oh Lord, I believe we settled on Tuesday at noon, and I need to get that invite out to y'all, which I will do now.
Y'all are awesome and just making me look so bad, but that's all right. I'll get to it. All right, well, we're at time. Thank you, MMSIG, so much, and thanks all of you folks diving into these groups, and have a great rest of your week. Bye, folks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.